薄いのアホ。
スープリズムパワーメイクアップカードレ
ディー。 Welcome to Shoujo and Tell, where we discuss shoujo manga and tell who's hot and who's not, talk about themes, and just generally geek out. Today, November 11th, 2018, we'll be shoujo and telling about the first 10 volumes of Kimi ni Todoke by Karuho Shina. I'm your host, Ashley McDonald, and I'm joined by Caitlin Moore.
Hello.
Caitlin, it's been a hot second since you've been on this podcast.
It doesn't feel like that long.
It doesn't? I'm glad it doesn't to you. It kind of does to me. I don't know, maybe time passes strangely for me.
Oh, well, maybe I'm old and time feels faster.
Great. Well, for everybody who may or may not have listened to Millennium Snow episode or the Fushigi Yugi ones, Caitlin, what do you do? What's up? What manga do you like?
I like a lot of manga. I grew up reading shoujo manga, and my favorites tend to be the action-adventure shoujo one. It's like Basara and Yona of the Dawn, but Kimi ni Todoke has definitely been a favorite for a while as well.
Yes, oh my gosh, I'm so glad we both love Kimi ni Todoke. I feel like it doesn't get enough, like, respect. I feel like not enough people are reading it in the wrong. This is basically...
I always have a pretty good wait at the library whenever a new volume was coming out.
Oh, really? Okay.
It definitely has a following.
Good.
I don't know, maybe it's in my little, like, niche of people whose kinks are healthy relationships and communication.
It definitely checks off those boxes. Do you want to describe what Kimi ni Todoke is about?
Sure. Kimi ni Todoke is about Sawako Kuronuma, a girl who has a reputation at her school as being gloomy and cursed, when really she's just shy and awkward, but very sweet. And she looks up to a boy in her class named Shota Kazehaya, who is outgoing and friendly and beloved by all. One day she befriends Kazehaya, and he has secretly liked her since the first day they met. And through getting to know him and through him helping her out, she is able to start befriending her classmates. But will she be able to enter a romantic relationship?
I don't know. We have to have 30 volumes to find out, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except actually that's answered in the first 10, but that's fine. We don't know what the next 20 are about. So, yeah. So this series is 30 volumes long. So it's very long because it's so good. Got to be forever long. And you can get all 30 volumes from Viz Media North America. There is also an anime that has 2 seasons. It's very special. That's what I'm saying.
Shoujo doesn't usually get 2 seasons.
I know. It's magical. And you can watch that on Crunchyroll. And I'm pretty sure what the anime covers is what is covered in these first 10 volumes. So if you have only watched the anime, you should be able to follow whatever we say in this podcast. If I'm wrong, you can tell me later. Okay. And I don't know how you found out about the series, but I definitely actually watched the anime first. And then I was like, oh my God, this manga is forever long. I need to go read it. Like,
it was when it was first coming out in English, which was so long ago. I think I was in high school, which was a very long time ago.
Oh boy.
And I don't remember exactly how I stumbled on it, but at the time, like, most of the stuff that was coming out in English was all, like, the abusive boyfriends sort of stuff. And my friend and I were complaining about it. And then I found Kimi ni Todoke and I, like, called her up. I'm like, oh my God, Scarlet, there's a shoujo manga where the boy is really nice and sweet.
And it's a miracle. Oh boy.
So that was what really got my attention with it.
Yeah, I don't know what got my... Okay, so when I watched the anime, it was in a period where I was still trying to, like, watch a lot of shoujo anime that I perhaps hadn't seen before. So I think I remember watching Skip Beat, Kimi ni Todoke, Say I Love You, and My Little Monster. And Kimi ni Todoke was the only one where I was like, I gotta go read this manga in like 2013. I was like, I just gotta. And now I have, you know, the stack of like, currently the 30th volume is still like TBD coming out next month. But yeah, I was like, I'm just all about this. Why are they all so nice? They're all such angelic children and I love them all.
I know. They're such just like, I know this is an old meme at this point, but just like beautiful cinnamon rolls.
Yes. I don't know. So I guess we should discuss like what makes it in particular so good. For me, what I really like about it is the emphasis on like very healthy female friendships between the main three characters. They are all very, seemingly very different on the surface, and they all, you know, they get mad at each other because that's what humans do. We're silly, like, animal creatures. But, like, overall, they're just so supporting of each other and, like, so happy, and they work so well together. They're like, our differences are what make us special. And I'm like, oh my God, I love you. I love you all.
Yeah, they're all very different. I think the common thread is that, like, they all kind of stand out somehow, and that kind of makes it them a little bit more, like, have trouble socially. Because, like, there's never a sense that, like, Chizu or Ayane also have a lot of friends. Like, they mostly have each other and Kazehaya and Ryu. But, like, they're definitely, you know, like, when all the rumors were going around about them, like, you know, this is all stuff that's, like, people would assume based on, like,
just how they look,
superficial assumptions. Yeah. So they're all, like, just really sweet and supportive of each other. And I just really enjoy them teasing Kazehaya and supporting each other. And they're all really good foils to each other.
Yeah, it's fun when they tease Kazehaya and they're like, everybody can see what's going on, but we can't, like, super communicate it, but like we need to just like nudge them in the correct directions, like, oh yeah. We're literally gonna stalk them on New Year's as Kazehaya and Sawako go on a little date that we've all devised together, like we were supposed to go, but JK, like, we're just stalking them, like, okay. You crazy people.
Ayane's great. Ayane, like, knows exactly what's going on the entire time, and she's just like, if I just sit back and watch, nothing's ever going to happen, so I'm at least going to make it interesting for myself.
Okay, Ayane is definitely the best character, just, like, hands down.
Yeah.
Everything she does, I'm like, why are you so good? Like, oh my God. There's also a lot of foreshadowing with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of foreshadowing with her that I'm like, I don't want to mention, but I do want to just, like, say that it's good. I'm like, I don't remember, like, it's been a hot second since, you know, I'd visited the beginning of this, just reading it as it's coming out in English and everything. So I'm like, oh, this was, like, actually everything that happens is, like, really well seated. And I'm like, oh, wow, didn't expect that. Okay.
Yeah, it actually is, like, in retrospect, there's a lot of stuff that does come up later. Like, I don't think it was planned to be a 30 volume series, but there was definitely, like, laying the groundwork for a lot of long running stuff.
Yeah, I was like, this definitely was not planned to go on this long, and I think that shows a little in the, like, middle volumes of this. But then I think it recovers. it's gonna recover, so it's like, all right, that's fine. But generally, also, I had gone into this time being like, Jeff, my, I guess I'll just say, ex-boyfriend now, yes.
I didn't know about that.
Oh, it's tragic. Everybody knows now. But he had been like, when we went to Japan last time, we went to a Kimi ni Todoke exhibit at, like, one of the anime places that frequently has exhibits or whatever, because it was, the end had just happened there. And he was like, well, I want to have, like, a basis, some basis in what the story is about before going to that. So he was trying to read it on the plane. He's like, this first volume is just so boring. And then I read it this time. Like, this first volume is executed almost to perfection. Like, what are you talking
about? It's amazing.
Yeah. I was like, this is a wrong opinion. This first volume is great. Like, it was supposed to be a short story at first, and like the first chapter like sets up everything perfectly. I'm like, no, bro. And then the first like four volumes are perfect, like of her, you know, becoming friends with people and the horrible rumors. I'm like, this was all great. Perfect shoujo manga. No,
it's all fantastic. Like there are some, the paneling I think works really well for displaying sort of the wordless tension and like what Sawako would be thinking about and focusing about in each moment.
Yeah.
It's really just a really great mix of like visual and verbal storytelling.
Yeah, I think it, because also my lasting impression of reading Kimi ni Hokei very slowly as you wait like 4 months for each volume or whatever is that it's like, yeah, sometimes there's a bunch of texts because they're like jawing at each other or whatever. And then other times just like, oh, Sawako's face, like lots of like Kazuhaya and Sawako just like staring at each other, like slow grab tension. I'm like, yes, that's all I want. I forgot about how much like when they do their little final confession between the door thing in this like really left impression the first time around. I was like, yes, that's key. Yeah, I guess the other great thing that we only mildly mentioned on is that like, okay, I think also, see, boys think that this manga is something else that it's not, I think. I also had another, I had another discussion with somebody else who, I won't say that, but I had another discussion with somebody else about this who was a guy, and I don't think that he had read it or watched it, but he was like, isn't Kimi ni Todoke one of those ones where the like the dude is like actually really bad, like he's really possessive and stuff? And I was like, Kimi ni Todoke is the like super sweetest end of the spectrum of shoujo manga. What are you talking about? I'm so confused.
Yeah, like Kazuhaya is, my friend calls him like white bread, which I think is a little rude.
It's a little rude.
He has more personality than that, but he is just, he's very, very sweet. And like there are, he does have possessive moments, but nothing like over the top. We're still in the non-spoiler territory, so I don't want to say too much.
That's
right. We haven't done our spoiler, spoiler announcement.
Okay, we're gonna spoil stuff now. So, like, again, this is about the first 10 volumes of 30. So, like, that's you define your own definition of spoilers now, people. But all right, let's go.
But like, part where like Sawako is taking care of Peen when he has a cold, like, Kazuhaya is like, I don't want you like getting like that up close to his face, I'll take care of him. It's like, it's a little silly, but it's like very much like a high school boy sort of thing that you could see him growing out of. It's not like like you cannot talk to these guys or be around these guys. Like, you know, he doesn't get jealous and upset when she's like hanging out with Ryu. So yeah, no, he's fine. He's a really good boy.
I know. I think there were definitely certain moments in this where I'm like, in other shoujo manga, the male protagonist would have like so much harder and aggressively been like, I like you, I'm going to push you. And Kazuhaya is like, she's not ready for this. I'm just going to wait. And I'm like, beautiful boy, what's up?
But he likes her from the beginning. Like, that's the thing, is that he likes her at the very start.
Yeah, like when they just say hi and everybody else thinks that she's like off-putting in appearance and he's like, no, it's fine. Like,
yeah.
Oh,
he's a good sweet boy. And I just want to, like, I don't know, pat his head.
Yeah, you just want to be like, there, you're a good boy.
read him a story.
Yeah. So this is all to say that boys are wrong about this manga. And they should read it more thoroughly.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will get into more of Kimi ni Todoke's. We'll specifically go through characters and, you know, like, themes. Overarching theme is about, like, miscommunication and how that is a plague of humans since forever. More ways to communicate than ever. Mm-hmm. Still can't say
it
right.
I mean, that's the title, Reaching You is, the reaching is communication, right?
Yeah. But yeah, so I would say that these 10 volumes definitely break down into like three little mini arcs that happen here, which is first it's like make friends. All right. Then like Kurumi comes along and it's like make a rival. Oh, scandalous. And then it's like get a boyfriend. Kazehaya, what's up? He's there. First of all, I forgot how much I hate Kurumi, especially in the beginning. I'm like, oh, Kurumi. All right, fine. You grew on me. Kurumi. But definitely making friends is like, I really think those first like 3 to 4 volumes are like pretty mm-hmm. perfectly executed. So
right. The emphasis is not on, it's not on changing. It's not on finding a boyfriend or like being a girlfriend. It's on learning how to show the world like your good parts and letting people, how do I put this? It's not that Sawako was blocking people out, but she was just not naturally someone who can easily attract people. So helping other people find the parts of you that make you someone they want to know, I think is really important, because Sawako doesn't change. Like, she is who she is, and but she is able to become more social and more understand how to socialize better while retaining the core of who she is as a person.
Yeah. And I think the key is like making people, you know, Kazehaya helps other people in the class be like, even simply her name, because they call her Sadako because that's a name from the ring and she looks scary or whatever. Yeah. So they have all these like ghost stories about her and whatever. And it's like, him just being like, no, you see this weird other person that is not a real person, is a fictional character that you have made up from based on some movie franchise or whatever. He's like, her name is Sawako. Like, let's be clear here. And it's kind of just like, you know, she's not saying anything different from what she normally says, which can bring tension because, you know, people still don't always understand her. But once it's like, oh, now we're actually listening, it's like, oh, we thought she was saying one thing, but she's totally saying another thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like, so that's the whole tension of the first arc is that, you know, everybody keeps asking her questions of like, do you like us? And then she'll be like, I don't like you. And she wants to say, because she's like, because I like super duper adore you and love you to death, sort of like escalation scale that they always cut her off from, and they're like, oh, you don't like us? That's like, that's hurtful. Like, I'm so hurt by this. And then once it's like, oh, different. Sawako just communicates differently. We should maybe just let her finish, you know?
Right. Or like, she doesn't understand that, like, when people ask, are you friends? And she says, oh, no, we're not friends, because she doesn't think that she is worthy of calling, like, their relationship is at that point yet. Like, since she's never really had these things, she takes them too seriously. Like, she's built up the idea of friendship in her head as this like something, I don't even know, some sort of bond that like is just so much more intimate than, you know, hanging out with these people at school and talking and enjoying their company. And no, that's what friendship is. Like,
that's all it is. Like, it's very low key.
She doesn't think that they would call her friends because she's like not, she hasn't known them as long as they've known each other. She's not as close to them as they are to each other. And it's like, no, Sawako, like, you're friends. Or when it's like, oh, do you like Kazehaya? It's like, oh, I respect him. It's like, no, Sawako.
Sawako, you sweet, sweet child. Can I just hug you?
Like,
there.
So she's a really good girl. She doesn't understand human relationships.
Yeah, well, the best is when, you know, it's also like everybody has these built up things about her. And it's kind of interesting to think about it from the perspective of somebody who it would be a black sheep, right? But it more terrible, like, I guess about Ayane and Chizu, it's like Ayane and Chizu have these different these outwardly stereotypical looks. Ayane kind of looks like, oh, she has a lot of piercing. She's like a pretty hot girl. So everybody's like, oh, she's slutty and things. And Chizu's like rough around the edges and a tomboy. And they're like, oh, she's beat up a bunch of people and like whatever. She's like in a gang. Where was I going with this? I was going somewhere. But yeah, it's just like, so they've all built up these personalities. Now, where was I going with this? Brain, why are you not working?
they all stick out, and they are all people who others make assumptions about. And they're all so much more than that. Whether or not some of those assumptions are correct. Like, yes, Chizu has gotten into fights. And Ayane is dating a college student. But they're so much more than those stereotypes. Like, Chizu's also a huge softie who just bursts into tears at someone's sad story. And is just so moved by Sawako wanting to pretend to be a ghost for the test of courage. Ayane is really, really smart.
Yeah. Okay. That's where I was going. Right. Okay. So Sawako then, like, you know, with the black sheep thing, it's kind of like, oh, so most of the time when people have those expectations for you, you do kind of give in to them. You're kind of like, well, people expect me to be this way. So then I'm going to go be this way in anger because it, like, hurts me that they think I'm like this, but I'm actually not. But then I like gave in to that expectation or whatever. And Sawako's doing that, but like in a really funny, like, you know, sort of tragic way with being like, yes, everybody thinks I'm scary, but I'm actually not. So that's like disappointing to them, right?
Mm-hmm. She leans in.
Yeah, she's like, oh, so I should embrace when I can scare them like they think I can. And Ayane and Chizu are just like, no. Okay, sure. Like, we're glad that you want that, but also, like, you should just explain to them that you're not a crazy, like, spirit person who can summon spirits and whatever. You know, you should just explain that to people.
Yeah, no, Sawako's really sweet, and she really does try to meet people, like, more than halfway.
She's like, I'll just come to you. It's fine. I do have to also say that while Ayane is clearly the best character because she knows all and fights very hard for other people and is pretty and all these things, I'm definitely Chizu in this relationship.
Like, yeah, I'm definitely more of a Chizu than an Ayane.
Yeah. I'm just like, yep, brash, like a little bit slow and like, you know, beat up some people. Definitely did the punching people as a sign of affection, and then they always say, oh, yeah. Ow. I'm like, yeah, that's not, I probably shouldn't do that anymore. That's probably bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to grow out of that.
Yes.
I've never been in like a fight, but I like to hit things, and especially like when I was living in Japan and like the foreigner community in my city was just pretty much just all like based around drinking together, I would definitely drink and then like start punching my 6'4" Australian friend, like,
as one does.
and they encouraged me. Like, I think they all thought it was cute because I'm 5'4" and not super strong, although I can throw a punch. But yeah, hitting things is fun.
Yeah. So like,
and that's why I'm Chizu.
Yeah, we understand Chizu. Chizu is good.
And I'm also a total softie.
Clearly, we like shoujo manga. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And have had a penchant for befriending the people who kind of stick out.
Oh yeah, all my friends. I'm like, we're all the weirdos. Yay, weirdos together. Yay, yay, yay.
Yeah.
Oh goody. But yeah, like, the end of that arc with them declaring their friendship and, like, you know, Sawako getting wrapped up in being like, I am tanking their reputations. I must clear up their reputations so that people do not misunderstand that they are not, like, typical. They are not just the stereotypes that they have built up around these people. And they have their moment in the bathroom. I'm like, I love that Sawako's like, don't hug me, I am dirty. And I'm like, I agree with that, but you're also very cute. It's very, very cute. And just, like, them being like, we were friends this whole time, dummy. We like you. I love all their proclamations. Kazehaya also has many proclamations about this, being like,
yes.
You know, Sawako, you don't get to decide about my reputation. Like, I decide about my reputation, and I want to hang out with you. And unless you don't want to hang out with me, then, like, we should hang out, you know? Like,
this is definitely the kind of series where people make a lot of speeches.
Yes. They're, like, not... They're pretty good, like, low-key speeches. I love when Pinza are always just like, hey, I'm a silly person, and then he just drops, like, something super serious and heavy, and then is like, bye, morons, or whatever. Like, right? Whatever. Oh, Peen.
I love Peen so much.
Oh, yeah?
He's such an idiot.
I go back He's and forth, terrible. And I'm like, is this teacher good? Is he bad? I don't know. I guess
it's hard
good.
To be sure. He's young.
Yeah.
He's definitely, like, very young and brash, but, like, we don't see him actually teaching very much. We no. see him being kind of a, you know, offering guidance, and the guidance is definitely mixed. But he's just a complete idiot.
He has no worries.
He's also huge, by the way. One of the information, like, character information things in the series was, like, he's 6'4".
Oh, I missed that part. He's that tall.
And he has, like, his hair pointing up, which probably gives him a couple of inches, like...
Oh, yeah. He's doing that on purpose. He's like, I am always the tallest person here. What's up?
6'4" in Japan will make you the tallest person in the
just
room.
Just by default, yeah.
Vast majority of the time.
Yep. Oh, yeah. And most of what we see is him betting on sports festivals or whatever. General festivals that they have at school. And
yeah.
being by himself outside of work, actually, but bothering them all the time because he has this personal relationship with Kazehaya that's... He's always blackmailing Kazehaya. That's basically what he's doing. He's like, Kazehaya, do you want me to broadcast all these embarrassing stories about how you peed in my bed that one time? And he's like, no, don't do it.
Yeah, I think his greatest motivation is just trolling Kazehaya. The bit where she offers to, or he tells her to, like, hold the back of Kazehaya's shirt and close her eyes.
Oh, yeah. So good. Oh, my goodness. But Kazehaya, also being good, does not kiss her, because I'm like, yes, Kazehaya is a good boy. That's why. Ooh, also in the friendship arc, I just love the scene where they, like, you know, they have to change seats or whatever. They're supposed to do it by a number system, but everybody, you know, just trades numbers. And everybody's like, no, we can't sit next to Sadako. We can't sit next to Sadako. And Kazehaya, of course, is like, no, give it to me. I will sit next to her. And he's like, yay, I'm sitting next to Kuronuma.
Oh, yeah. No, that part is so... That's, like, one of my favorite parts. Because I have been that person who's, like, looking for someone to, like, sit next to. And it's just, like, no one is necessarily being, like, oh, I don't want to sit next to Caitlin. But, like...
Yeah.
But, like, I don't really have anyone who's, like, eager or excited to be like, hey, come sit with me. Like, so, yeah, no, that part was really heartwarming and very sweet. And I like how Ryu just ruined it.
Yeah, Chizu's like, I'm going to have a moment, too. And he's like, no, I'm sitting here.
Chizu's just pouting.
Yeah, Chizu's like, fine. I guess I'll sit in front of all of you. I don't know. Cool. But yeah, I think Kazehaya is just so good at not only, you know, he just knows when to be like, okay, not only have I sat next to her, but I have proclaimed, like, yay, I am sitting next to Kuronuma. And also knows when to, like, when to push back on his classmates. Because he doesn't always push back on them when they're being mean to her. But then he has breaking points where he's like, no, like, you took it too far now. I have to correct you. Like,
yeah, it's like, oh, the punishment game is a date with Sawako. It's like, that's too mean.
Yeah, he's like,
like,
no,
that's
no, no.
The point where you're not treating her like a person anymore.
Yeah, he's like, she has feelings. She's a human. She does not want this. I don't want this because I'm a nice boy. Like, God. I was also very affected because, you know, Ayane is the best character. So in the seat scene where she, like, gets a number and then she's just like, nah, I'm also just going to follow Kazuhaya. And of course, Chizu being a little slow is like, oh, I want to do it too. And Ryu is like sitting in a seat already. And he's like, this is my seat. Just go away. And that's Ryu's how.
Very good too.
Yeah, that's how they become friends. Like Ryu's introduction is that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the first time we meet Ryu.
Yeah. And he's a good boy.
He is.
Yeah.
They're all good boys and girls.
All
except good. For Kurumi.
Yes. Which takes us into the next arc of Kurumi, the rival character, who was always lurking in the shadows because she's the one who spread the rumors. But, you know,
yeah.
Kurumi. I actually think it's a little ashamed to talk about Kurumi now because I think Kurumi, you know, she's still around. She will get better in the future. But Kurumi's setup is pretty good. Like, her setup is... she's been in love with Kazuhaya. She does a lot of manipulations. Like, damn, girl. How you even keep all that straight? I don't even know. But because she's like, all right, I like Kazuhaya, but clearly I'm a bad girl, so he doesn't like me. So then she, like, gets the whole class to buy into, which I think is a typical shoujo manga thing of, like, well...
Yeah, I've seen that in a lot of series.
Yeah, like... Kazuhaya is everybody, so we all love and admire him, but we
it's
so
a
we
very like Japanese group thing, like, oh, we all want him, so he doesn't belong to one of us, he belongs to the group.
Yeah.
You know, we're each gonna like suppress our own individual desires for Kazuhaya so that the group can have him and no individual takes him.
For the sake of society, the betterment mm-hmm. of our community. Yeah.
So we're not all just pulling out each other's hair and fighting over him.
Yeah. So Kurumi manages to do that. But, you know, since Sawako is not part of the community group, she has it's a thorn in her side where she's like, I didn't take this one into account. I didn't think Kazuhaya would love such a little weirdo over here. So then she's like, all right, well, now I have to directly attack Sawako, I guess, but not directly because that would be too easy. This is an evil manipulation scheme.
Yeah. Kurumi's like a dark mirror of Ayane almost, I feel like. Like they're both very, very smart and capable of manipulating a situation. And that's why Ayane has Kurumi's number, like, right away.
Exactly. I was like, oh, and that actually is set up that they are also rivals because yeah. Ayane is the one who's like, okay, I see what's happening. What's up, Kurumi? But then she's like, but we can't do anything until we have, like, hard evidence, which we don't right now. We just instinctively know from, like, mm-hmm. various
You're
little
not
things.
So different, you and I.
Yeah. Oh, Kurumi. And that, I mean, that's what's beautiful about Sawako's reaction eventually to Kurumi, too, is that Sawako's like, I don't understand, Kurumi. Like, why do you hate me when we are the same? We both think Kazuhaya is special. And, like, you know, Kurumi was nice to Sawako initially and, like, called her by her correct name and all these things. And she's like, why can't we share this thing and be friends? And Kurumi's like, you don't understand anything about humans. We're rivals. Come on.
Yeah, she just wants to have a friend in liking Kazuhaya.
Yeah. Sawako's like, why can't we be friends about liking Kazuhaya and talk about it and share all these things? Because they do that for like a hot second. And Kurumi's like, no, this isn't how this works. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh.
Oh, so
oh.
I think it does work really effectively that in the beginning of Kurumi's arc, you're like, Kurumi is the root of all evil. And then by the end, you're like, Kurumi's not so bad. Kurumi's all right. Like, she just wants to be loved. She's just looking for acceptance. Oh.
She is, she's definitely the way she operates. It's hard to really... totally hate a character for operating that way because, like, it's sort of, you know, how girls are taught to deal with conflict is subterfuge and, you know, manipulation, and as confrontational as possible. Non-confrontational. That's the word.
Yeah.
As non-confrontational as possible.
Yeah. In that way, I'm like, Kurumi is the nod to all other terrible shoujo manga, maybe. Being like, look at this typical character that you've seen before. Isn't that fun? Now we're going to make her a good person. Now you know how you feel about that. Like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's too unusual. Having them sort of work it out and be at least in a place of trying not to mess each other's stuff up too much.
too much.
Yeah, no. So I don't think Kurumi is like a particularly unusual or interesting character, but she's not bad. She's not terrible.
She does better things for Sawako, so that's fun. Obviously, we should acknowledge that the best part of the Kurumi arc is when Pien gets it in his head that she is in love with him.
Yes, and that becomes... that's why Pien is the best.
That's why Pien... Yes. And that apparently gets around school, so sorry, Kurumi. Oh, boy.
Well, and his reaction is just like, I'm not interested in children.
Yes.
Like, good job, Pien. Good job.
That's why I'm like, oh my gosh, things that happened later, they were always seated. It was, he never wavers. He knows what he's about. He knows what's up. Like, aw, so good. I don't know how that could be so good. But yes, so Kurumi has always been there, little manipulations. But then we get into the crux of the thing, the real, I think these are the roughest bits of it, admittedly. There were certainly panels and stuff where I was like, I'm not following the logic of this conversation that they're having anymore so well.
Right.
But...
Well, she had to take a... I wonder if it was around when she had to take a break because she was having a baby.
That's true. They become really, really short chapters where I'm like, this was good because there were only like 10 pages and I know what happened in them.
I like how she dropped it like just in the chat column. So... I had a baby, and that's what was going on for a while there.
Just super Kaz, just brought a human life into the world. It's fine. Like, y'all, I drew some manga.
Has a little picture of hairy baby.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of Asian babies who just have their hair stick straight up.
Oh, yeah.
It's really cute.
Is that why Pien does it? He's just trying to be a baby. He's just like...
Yep. Pien is into adult baby. Nope.
Yeah.
Don't like that.
Nope.
Stop erasing that from the universe. Not like what I just put out into the universe.
Yeah, that's...
Now I just willed it into existence.
That's going to be there forever now, so... I love when manga artists are like talk about their lives and they're like, I actually have children and stuff. I'm like, whoa, amazing.
Yeah. I mean, the best one for that is Akiko Higashibara.
Oh, well, yes, obviously.
Because I want to be her best friend.
Yeah, I mean, everybody should want to be her best friend. I think that's just key. But yeah, I feel like it's rare. Normally they're just like, I played a lot of video games and like this music. And I'm like, oh, these people over here, like I have children. I'm like, that's nice. Like that's mm-hmm. That seems real to me. I don't know. Yeah. So I definitely think it was around the time, where she was like, I have life things going on. Maybe I'm not all about this manga. Maybe this manga isn't my life. And I'm like, that's fair. You know?
I have some bigger issues going on here.
Yeah. Oh, because there was one point where she was like, the kid was in the hospital. I'm like, that's fair. That seems more important than me trying to figure out what exactly Kazuhaya and Sawako are fighting about right now.
I'm glad that she has her priorities. She has her priorities straight, because I sometimes just think about that part of Bakuman where it's like, hey, you could literally die if you keep drawing manga at this pace. And he's like, no, I'm going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, manga industry, not the greatest at the work-life balance.
Yeah. Don't romanticize working like until you are so sick you can barely function. Like, don't do it.
Don't do it. But yeah, so this, like, Sawako and Kazuhaya's feelings finally coming to a head where it's like, whoa, we can't keep it inside anymore, but we also can't express it clearly to each other. So they have a series of misunderstandings, and I'm like, this is a little tedious at this point. Yeah, but that,
when I was reading that part live, it felt a lot faster when I was just reading like these volumes, boom, 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 one yeah. after another. But like when I was reading it, like as it was going, or like during when I was watching the anime, like this part felt so long, and it's just like, stop.
Just stop.
I don't think your like and my like is the same. It's like, no. Goddamn idiot. Shut up. Stop. Just kiss already.
Yeah. Just actually have said the opposite of that sentence and been like, actually, our likes are the same, and like blown her mind and then been done with that. Like, whoa. But no. Yeah, I think it's definitely because they have to go through the same thing like three times, and it's kind of like, nope, twice maybe. All right, that would have been fine, but like, definitely one too many things. But mostly what I appreciated about that arc is like, definitely again, more the friendship aspects of it, where Ayane and Shizu get annoyed because they're like, well, what this really is about is that Sawako feels inferior to Kazehaya. So she need, but we want her to be in this relationship as equals, which is like, thank you, shoujo manga, like, for saying that just so blatantly. I love it.
But then Kento.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. God, we haven't mentioned Kento. Kento.
I'm not sure if he was just thrown in there to be an obstacle. Like, he sticks around and he plays a better role in the narrative later. But like here, he's just like, I'm just going to come crashing in and misunderstand the situation and like just totally ruin everyone's vibe and, you know, make everyone confused. Yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
He's like, that seems like a good plan. Yeah, no, he definitely, I think that's also part of the problem with this arc, is that like, so they've gone through the first year of school and then they switch classes, and of course the core group of characters get to stay in the same class still. So Ayane, Chizu, Sawako, Ryu, and Kazehaya are all still in the same class, and partially possibly because Ayane bribed Pien, unclear. He just kind of, he spins it as he was a nice guy who's like, yeah, I know, like, y'all are friends.
Just want to keep the friends together.
Yeah. But then Kento is a new classmate who like kind of comes out of nowhere, and then all of a sudden is just like, let me talk to Sawako a lot and give her all these funny ideas about her inferiority. Like, he's like, you are inferior to Kazehaya. Like, he doesn't like you. And Kazehaya is like, what, dude? I totally like her. Like, what's wrong with you?
He's just being nice. Like, you don't want to have to rely on him, right? And Sawako's like, I guess. And Kazehaya's like, no. And Ayane's like, what are you doing? You're ruining everything.
She's like, I had it all figured out. And then you ruined it, Kento. You ruined it. God.
I couldn't like figure out, like, I thought maybe he was being like actively malicious or like trying like he likes Sawako. Also, he gets way into her space, like, boundaries.
Yeah. Kento is like the less good boy here. Like, much less good boy.
Like, he's not bad. He's not mean. He's not malicious. I thought he might be at first, but he's just an idiot. And not in the good way like Pien.
Yeah, no.
But he just, like, he comes on and, like, immediately he, like, gets right into Sabako's face. And it's just like, you should smile more. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, right. Don't, here, slap.
I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah.
I'm going to reach into that manga page and throttle you.
Don't say that. Never say that.
And he just totally misreads Kazehaya. It's like, you don't know what you're talking about. Ugh.
Yeah.
He was really annoying.
I mean, in that way, he's kind of the, he is the foil to Kazehaya in that they're both, like, popular And it's not that I think he's threatened by Kazuhaya's popularity. Like, I think they're both like, we can exist in this sphere and we have different friends and stuff, like, whatever. But in the way that, you know, he tries to be like, oh, Sawako's weird. Like, I'm going to go help out the weird girl, too. But he just does it, like, totally incorrectly. He's like, look, I'll touch her and, like, I'll tell her that her brows are too furrowed and, like, all these things and have her call me master and, like, just clearly put her into an inferior position and stuff. And it's like, no, Kento, you did it all. You did everything wrong. How? I don't know. Amazing.
Yeah, like, I buy that he had good intentions, but he really does just, like, just come in and mess everything up. And he does it in such a way that Ayana can't stop him. But yeah, you're right. Like, I kind of forgot about that. Like, he doesn't just, like, give her the wrong idea, but, like, he does make her feel inferior. Like, after everything that Kazuhaya has done and Ayana and Chizu have done, like, building her up, making her feel, like, part of the class. And, like, she is fine the way she is. She just needs to learn how to open herself up more. And then he comes along and he's like, oh, yeah, no, like, you're weird. You are weird. And he's just being nice to you.
Yeah, he just straight up goes back to, like, confirming her worst fears, like, that she has in herself. She's like, I want to be special to Kazuhaya, but I know that he's probably just being nice to me, because she knows enough about humans to be like, ah, yes, like, I've clearly done this wrong for so long, so how could they ever like me and all these things? And Kento's just like, that is correct. And I'm like, no, Kento, who are you? Why did you get put in this class?
What a dumbass. What an absolute dumbass. By the way, I want you to appreciate I'm trying very hard not to curse.
Yes, I appreciate it. But you're like, Kento is so angering.
I'm just like trying very hard not to just yell swear words about him.
Kento!
Shaking my fist.
Yeah. I mean, that's Kento does come back. And in the same way that Kurumi is like, later things that happen with them are better than what has currently happened with them. It's like, he'll be okay, I guess.
Yeah. No, he's not, like I said, he's not a bad dude.
Yeah.
He was just doing the extremely wrong thing.
Extremely bad things, yeah. And Ayana can't do anything about it because I think she just doesn't realize what's happening until way too late to do anything. Oh, such a tragedy. Yeah, okay, so I guess we should talk about, like, blatantly when they actually do confess their feelings to each other, because that was a little weird to me. Like, when Kazuhaya and Sawako confess their feelings. This might be the worst peen incident, because it gets weird, right?
My memory's a little foggy, so...
Okay. So it's that, you know, they finally, after several mistries of, like, miscommunicating with each other, and then getting interrupted by another idiot in their class, Joe, were, like, finally gonna actually talk it out in a classroom, Joe comes along and is like, hey, Kazuhaya, for this festival, should we get, like, 80%, like, sweet treats and 30% salty treats? And he's like, I don't care. Like,
what? Oh, Joe.
Freaking Joe. So then they have to break up for a little bit there. And they talk a little bit. But then it seems like they've made it clear, right? Like, Kazuhaya has proclaimed at the festival. He's like, I like Kurunuma. Like, she likes me. Where we showed up at this, like, karaoke party together. Like, everybody gets it, right? And then Pien eventually is like, you should make it, like, extra clear to her, because you know that she gets, like, she doesn't interpret things the same way that everybody else picks up on signals and stuff. And Kazuhaya is like, you are correct, Pien. Let me go correct this and ask her blatantly to be my girlfriend. And in that scene, Pien is also there, so he's, like, pretends to be Kazuhaya, I guess, and says in, I assume, a, like, Kazuhaya impression, being like, hey, will you marry me? And then,
oh,
like,
yeah. That whole thing was weird. Like, and that's the thing, is I think Himini Todoke is very good at the build. Like, it's good at the little moments where it's, you can feel, like, that they like each other. And you know, moments like, and building up the chemistry between them, like moments like at the Christmas party when he waited for her with his cell phone strap gift, or, yes, you know, when they were hanging out in Ryu's room and they called Kazehaya up and Ayane and Chizu were teasing him by like getting all snuggly up with him, or at the temple. And maybe I'm just listing seeds because we haven't mentioned them and they were really good. And
they're very good.
But like, you know, like the build up, that feeling of like that tension, that dramatic tension of like, I like him, and like, I'm, you know, there are these signals that he likes me too, but I just don't have, like, I'm not sure if I'm reading him right, or if like I'm just too scared to like pull the trigger. Like, that part is really good, and that's not good because it's a really exciting part of like sort of starting in a relationship. But then like when it's time to like actually pull the trigger and actually be in the relationship, it's hard to sort of maintain that tension, because that's the release of tension. And yeah, I think a lot of shoujo manga stumble here. Like, it's not something that's unique to Kimi ni Todoke. like, not at all unique to Kimi ni Todoke, but it's still just, like, frustrating. Yeah. Because it's like, you know, you have to release that tension, or else it's going to be like, you're edging us with pure romance.
Yeah. Well, I think also the problem with it might be that it's, like, actually that it tries to escalate the tension again far too quickly for me. Like, because then what happens is Pien says, "Will you marry me?" And then, like, Kurunuma's like, when Kazehaya eventually catches up with her after she's gone away to be like, "I must go talk to my dad first," or whatever. And she, like, calls her dad and then is like, "Never mind." And Kazehaya comes and catches up with her and is like, "Oh, Kurunuma, like, no, this is a misunderstanding," because that's their standard line in all these situations. And he's just like, "You know, Pien said that. Like, I just wanted you to be my girlfriend." She's like, "I knew that Pien said that, but I still wanted to think about it." But then he realizes that when she said think about it, she meant, like, imagine them being married. And it's just like, whoa, can y'all be boyfriend and girlfriend for the next 20 volumes? Like, we need to get through that first before. So it's just, like, it was trying to be, like, and this escalation of, like, now, because Kazehaya also says, like, "I will protect you forever," or something. And I'm like, okay, this is too far for me.
Like, yeah, like,
too high.
Guys, you're 16.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's also like it's simultaneously the release of the buildup of tension, but then also trying to be like, and now we must find more tension to go to. And I'm like, no, we didn't need to immediately go there. We could have taken a second for just to revel in their pure start of the relationship. Thank you. But I guess not. Kimi ni Todoke can't be perfect. You know, nothing's perfect. So. No.
Yeah, the presentation is as awkward and stumbling as the characters themselves are.
Yeah, sometimes you really, really feel it. You're just like, ugh. But that might be one of the moments where Pien is like, "Come on, Pien, you did this. You're bad. You're a bad boy."
It's like, God damn it, Pien.
God damn it, Pien. I want to like you, but you make it so hard. Just so hard sometimes. Yeah, I mean, those are the big things. And I think overarching themes of this are definitely just, like, you know, trying to, beyond the, like, miscommunication things, it's trying to find this balance between what is real amongst, like, rumors and ghost stories and, like, all these weird things that they're conjuring up. But, like, what I still really appreciate this manga for is whenever Kazehaya does have proclamations, like I wrote down the line, like, "Who cares about some stupid rumors? The Kurunuma I see is the real Kurunuma." And it's kind of like, Kazehaya, that's kind of, on one hand, a rude thing to say, because you're like, I am making the real Kurunuma in my eyes, you know, sort of thing. But on the other hand, it's like, yeah, like, you are partially made up of other people, and you can see through rumors and lies and all these things. And Kazehaya never does push, like, whenever he makes proclamations, like, you know, I want to hang out with you, and you shouldn't let other people tell you otherwise. It's always with an understanding that it's like, well, I want to hang out with you if you also want to hang out with me. You know, right. There's like, there is a boundary there that he has that is very good. And I'm like, thank you.
He never tries to force her into anything.
Yeah. And I think that these all these characters also struggle with like whether their motives are selfish or not, mm-hmm. and trying to find that balance of like, well, you know, Peen is like, you always need ulterior motives to do anything.
Yeah, the use of ulterior motives, like, I feel like that's one of those things that's kind of like awkward and clumsy to translate.
Yeah. Oh no, definitely. Reading it, I was like, this doesn't seem natural in English, but okay.
Right. Like, I don't know. Maybe like an agenda would be a more natural translation. Because the idea of like ulterior motives as they're talking about it seems to be like the idea that you are talking to someone or acting with someone with the idea that like, you know, you want more or you want there is something that they can give you. But even if that something is like, you know, companionship, it's like, oh, I have an ulterior motive hanging out with this person because my ulterior motive is that I want them to spend more time with me.
Yeah.
Or my ulterior motive is that like I am physically attracted to them. You know, like these are not things that we would consider ulterior motives. Like no one is totally. Socialization is always a sort of a back and forth, right? Like, you know, you're friends with someone because you get something out of being with them, as well as like you are giving something. It's not like you are just gifting your presence upon them. So when they talk about ulterior motives and like, you know, this is probably just a cultural thing, but it's like, oh, he has an ulterior motive in, you know, when he likes her because he wants to kiss her, like, whatever, like that's just being a human, you know?
Yeah, also that's just like what being a relationship kind of is, like that's just its default state. But yeah, agenda is actually a pretty good word to use for what they're talking about probably. But yeah, and it's like, yeah, you can never be truly selfish, but like I mean, I understand that Kazehaya is just reacting negatively to it because Kurunuma has built up this, like, godly image of him in her mind of, like, how good he is and kind and perfect and everything that he is. And he's like, no, I'm not perfect. Like, he doesn't want to be perfect. He's like, please don't put me on this pedestal. I'm just a dude who likes you. Like, can we be that? Like, please?
Yeah. And that's fair.
Yeah. And, like... he has good boundaries for himself, too. That's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Just generally, it's so good, you guys. Everybody should read it. Read it along with this podcast.
It is. It's very good.
Go get it from a library. Libraries totally have it because it's so long. They're like, it must be popular. It's my understanding of how libraries work.
Yep. Or if your library doesn't have it, see if you can get it through interlibrary loan and or request it. Like 99% of the manga I read is through the library.
Yeah, no, I love libraries. The only reason I own this one is because I loved it so much. Normally, I definitely would not read a 30-volume manga from like my own collection for this podcast. No.
I saw a thing and it was like, yeah, most generations kind of stop going to the library unless they have kids to take to the library, but like millennials go to the library for themselves as adults regularly.
Oh, yay, we're doing something right.
Yay, yay. We are not killing libraries because we're poor.
Exactly. Oh no, but that's okay because libraries are good.
Yep.
It is a very good series. Again, I cannot stress this enough. Like, every time I read it, I just go, like, this series is better than I remembered it. And at this point, I've read it, like, 3 times. And, like, watched the anime. So, I don't know. Again, it was literally the, like, I'm pretty sure I watched, like, a handful of shoujo series. Maybe more than that. And it was the only one that I was like, I need to read this manga. Like, I cannot get enough of this stuff, and it delivers because it's 30 volumes, so let's go. It's very exciting because we don't actually know. I mean, we can assume how it ends, but we currently do not know how it definitively ends. So cool. But we'll find out in future podcasts. So thanks again for listening to Shoujo and Tell. If you have any comments or questions or whatever you want to say about this episode or things in general, you can email us at shoujoandtell@gmail.com or leave a comment on this episode's page, which will be shoujoandtell.com/kiminitotoke1. And we're at shoujoandtell on the social media things like Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram. Caitlin, where can people find you and your work on the internet?
Oh, you know, various places. So I have my Twitter, alt_nodere. I am also an editor and writer for Anime Feminist, animefeminist.com. I have my own website that I have not updated for a very long time because I am very busy with life, heroinproblem.com. Heroin has an E. And I also review anime for the Daily Dot.
Yeah, life needs to stop interfering so you can back to writing more about shoujo manga.
Yeah, getting married takes a lot of free time. Is the problem.
I can imagine. See, that's when you have to stop writing the mangas, right? That's what happens. The work-life balance. But so... if you're excited anytime you see a new episode from us, please consider leaving a rating in iTunes or Stitcher, because that would be very helpful to spread the word to other people. Yay! And thanks again for listening to this episode. We'll be back next time for volumes 11 through 20 of Kimi ni Todoke. And we're ending the year, I guess, on two trilogies of podcasts with Fruits Basket and this, so sorry if you don't read those series. I don't know, but... until then, you should read both of them because they're both great. So do that and get back to me in part 2. Till then, bye.